Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
December 31st, New Year's Eve, at almost 1 hour from now it will be from the beautiful lands of Spokane, Washington. I'd like to welcome y'all. Thank y'all for joining me today. We have some things that we want to go over right quick before the new year, and it is some important things that I want to cover with y'all pertaining to the ministry, if I can. Now, I'm going to give y'all a poor excuse of the reason why I haven't been doing any shows lately. And y'all can call it poor if you want, or you can even give me the parable of the worker who said I have to go bury my father if you want. But I do have kids. I have 5 kids, but actually the youngest one is 1, and she's starting to walk. And I also have a 2.5-year-old and an 8-year-old. But anyway, my 1-year-old has, I don't know what it is. She has a small cold, we know that. But we don't know if it's allergies with it. So when she lays down, she chokes, coughs, and she has trouble going to sleep. So that's kind of where I'm at. I like to do late shows. I'm going to start doing a lot of late shows in the coming weeks and months, hopefully. Late shows, a lot of late shows, so I can do them more daily than normal. And then I'm with my kids all day long, so it's hard to do a show then. And when my wife does get home, she's not the authoritative person that I am. So when we got the kind of house that it's kind of not soundproof. So it's a nice sized house, but where I do my shows is downstairs in the basement. And I'm trying to get a condenser microphone where it's harder to hear background, but my kids kind of make noise, so you guys might not hear it, but it kind of distracts me from the show. So that's kind of the reason why I've been doing some shows lately, and I was just trying to wait for the new year. But the biggest reasons why I haven't been doing the show is because I'm trying to be God-led rather than, you know, and I know sometimes God does give us quick, you know, He gives us that umph, that zeal to say, okay, I'm going to do a show. And then the show turns out right. But, you know, it's God. And it's God who does those, gives us these ideas to do shows on. Well, anyway, The Shack. Who, I'm pretty sure some of y'all out there have read the Shack or heard about the Shack, or somebody in your church or school or somebody in the military with you or wherever, you know, coworker have told you about the Shack if you haven't heard about the Shack. Well, anyway, I'm going to do some shows on the Shack. This is a novel. It's supposed to be a Christian novel, and I quote, a Christian novel. But is it? Have we lost our discernment as Christians in an age that we live in, a busy age, I call it, a busy age, because everybody's busy doing nothing. Of course people are doing something, I'm just joking, but as far as eternity is concerned, a lot of this stuff is nothing. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said that a lot of the things that we do that we deem important has no eternal weight. It has no eternal value. The Shack. The Shack. I can say that for the next 3 hours, The Shack. Oh, my God, The Shack. Christians are promoting this book as a good book, and a lot of people are saying that it helped them in their life, helped change their life. And I'm not going to doubt that, because there are secular movements and secular things that can change your life. For instance, AAA. I mean, AAA can change your life. But is AAA more, is it effective in the long run? And it could be. But I know one person who can free you from alcoholism and drugs, and free you from the scars that you have had in your life. And his name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that is indeed true. So the Shack says that God the Father is a fat black woman named Papa. And I don't have the names in front of me, but it says that the Holy Spirit is an Asian woman named Samarati or Samarudi or something like that. I don't have the names in front of me. I thought I just Googled it, but anyway, and Jesus is supposed to be an Asian man. And I guess what happened is the plot of the story is the individual lost their child. And the murder, I guess, took place in the Shack. And then they had to go back and do these, you know, go visit the Shack and all this other stuff. But anyway, turns out the God is a fat black woman. And there's a lot of things that are weird about this novel. First of all, the main defense that people who like the book brings up is that it's a novel. So when we say that God the Father is a flat, is a black woman, overweight black woman, we start to, you know, visualize this thing. Now, people say that this book helps them understand the Trinity more. And I asked them, I seriously asked you to not read a novel to understand the Trinity, but read the Bible to understand the Trinity. Who would understand God more than God himself? Just like the Bible says, who would understand the Spirit of God, the things of God, rather the Spirit of God? Who would understand the things of man but a man? In his spirit. He understands the man. I know my secrets. You don't. You guys don't know my secrets. But the Bible says those things that are in the dark will come out into the light. So eventually you guys going to know my, especially Christians who stand in front of Jesus. This makes me wonder, will Christians be invited to be judged in the great white throne judgment? But then all things will be brought to the light. So, yeah, you guys know me. Who wouldn't understand me? You guys eventually will know everything about me. And I will know everything about you. I'm just kidding. Here is a thought. We're going to do a series on the Shack sometime in February. And the reason why it's going to be so far off, because I got other series I'm going to be doing as well. And before the night is over with, I want you guys to know what I'm going to be doing if the world does not break out into war. And, yeah, we've been wrong. There's a lot of people have been wrong. And here's the thing about, and I'm changing the subject, of course. I'm really quick at changing subjects. So, yeah, I'm changing the subject from the Shack. But here's the thing. People say that Christians like me and Christians like the people on Blog Talk Radio and Christians abroad and in the United States and abroad who warn people about Jesus Christ's coming, they like to say, oh, wrong again. You know, you're wrong again. This did not happen and that did not happen. Which you are right. It did not. A lot of stuff did not happen. But I suggest that the people out here, out listening to this radio program, do not lose heart. Do not lose your zeal. Keep moving. And I'll tell you why. Because God has a plan, even with us being wrong at times. Now, do we come out and say, thus says the Lord, God told me this? No, I don't say that. I never said that. I have never said God gave me a dream or this or that, and God told me this or that. But I have been wrong before. Do I like being wrong? No, nobody likes being wrong. As I asked some football fans, I said this is going to happen. The Detroit Lions were going to win against the Patriots, and they lose. So, yeah, we're going to be wrong. Just like me walking out the house saying it might rain today. I don't come back home and my wife called me a false prophet. Now, had I said God told me it was going to rain today, she could probably say that. But God has a plan in store for us who are doing these ministries and getting the word out, like warning people against various occultic novels like The Shack, or warning people against purpose-driven 40 days of love, 40 days of whatever purpose-driven does. And these movements are starting to look to me like they're intertwined. And I call most things movements. If it's a book, a novel, it's a movement. So The Shack is a movement. The purpose-driven is a movement. Various books and novels are movements. Are they separate movements? No, I think they're all intertwined. All these things are moving to a completion of world unity and world religion. Let me repeat myself. All these things that you see, whether it be relativism, whether it be what relativism means is that you're right, what you think is good and wrong is not, it's good. I mean, it's fine. And what I think is good and wrong is fine. So I can call one thing good and you can call that same thing bad and we're both fine. But see, truth does not, ultimate truth does not leave room for that to happen. So somebody has got to call the shots. So relativism means that I can call what's right to me and wrong to me may not necessarily have to be wrong to you and right to you. around to you and right to you. But see, that doesn't even work in the court, in the streets. When you're going, if I go down the street at 50 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, I just broke the law. So what if I tell the police officer, well, go home and ask your wife what is right to her, and whatever is right to her, won't you follow that? Because I believe that 30 miles an hour is too slow. And then what if the cop says, oh, yeah, you're right, because you think in your area's span of life, yeah, you're right, it's too slow. I'm going to let you go on that one. Okay, see you later. No. This is breaking the law because you're going 50 miles an hour. So relativism is saying that what's wrong and right to me is my judgment. Whether I murder somebody, whether I go out and cheat on my wife, if it's fine with me, I mean, I should be let into heaven. I should be good to go. And then there are people who say that we are all going to heaven. No matter what you do, you are going to go to heaven. So there are movements out there that are all leading to the same goal: homosexuality. And people don't believe that relativism has to do with homosexuality, and then homosexuality doesn't have anything to do with Unitarianism or unified church or church that believes that homosexuals are going to go to heaven the way they are, and drug addicts are going to go to heaven the way they are, and everybody's just fine and dandy. So, and then you got the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses, and then you have the New Age, total New Age movement. And then I believe that a lot of the churches today, especially like on TBN, who claim that we are gods, because I went to one of those churches before, who claim we are little gods, all are headed into the same direction. So from the shack, that the purpose driven, all these entities are, to me, covering up a bigger plan for Satan and a bigger plan for the globalists, which is a unified church. Why do you think the lady harlot that rides the horse in the book of Revelations, she is full of abominations? But at the same time, there was a start to all these movements joining together. So if you look at the Vatican, if you look at the Catholic Church, they're accepting of all religions have been prevalent for the last couple of years. So now you have all these different types of movements that are headed in the same direction. But they need a need somewhere to land. They need somewhere to bring all their forces together. I'm talking about every movement you can think of, the New Age movement, even just the normal secular society. They need a place to land. They need a place to meet. They need a place to come together. They need a place to have their ultimate goal of unity, unifying all religions together. So even though this novel called The Shack is not a movement, it's not a church, it's not an organization, it's a novel. That by itself has its place in the global vision of unified world church. That's why they say, I am. That's why you have people saying, I am, you know, I am God. They want to be God. They want to be a God. They don't want to answer to anybody. That's why you have the colleges denying God. That's why you have individual professors rejecting God. That's why you have preachers of not these denominational churches denying God, because we want to make our own rules. We follow the lie of the devil. He says he's scared once you eat of that fruit, you're going to be as gods. We want to be our own boss. And even if you don't know about being a god, men always wants to sit at the helm of his life. And God will give him that, what he wants. But it does not change the fact that we need a Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. It does not change that at all. So we need Jesus to get to heaven. There's no way. There's only one mediator. Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's Jesus Christ. It's only one mediator, folks. And God is the only one who can make us understand that there is ultimate truth. There is ultimate truth. And that ultimate truth is in Jesus. Look, there was just a holiday called Christmas. And people got gifts that day. Now, you suppose a few women bought their husbands power saws? You suppose a few men bought their wives the new television with the, actually males, you know, normally get that television with the cable, you know, internet, you know, you can actually connect with YouTube and Facebook and all this other stuff. You suppose those things came with instructions? So how could you tell the manufacturer of these devices that there is no ultimate truth? You lie. You lie. There is no ultimate. I can tell you more how to fix your item than you can. Now, there is some people out there that can do that. I'm doubting that. But I'm trying to make a point that everything you buy at the store, everything you purchase, has a ultimate rule book or an ultimate manual. Even the body is studied to the point that these doctors have there's a variety of people with opinions about what we can eat and what we can't eat. But when it's all said and done, a lot of the doctors and chemists and biologists and people in the field of medicine and the people in the field of the body, keeping the body functioning, people in these fields have come up with some consensus to what you can and cannot do to the body. You can't freeze a body at a certain temperature and expect to live, just like you can't heat a body and expect to live. You can only have so much drugs. You can only have so much of this. Or you can only be doing so much of this. You know? So these men know and women know that once you hit that emergency room, this is what the body cannot take. This is what the body can take. Let's get this done. Let's make sure that we bring the person's blood pressure down. Let's bring all the pulse down. Let's do this. Let's get this person to the surgery room. They know all that stuff. They know right away when you come into the doctor's office, and they know the parents might think the kid is going to die when the doctors are going like moderately slower then the parents want them to go, then next thing you know, he must be okay because the doctors aren't going that fast. Yeah, because they know. They know a lot of that stuff, and then the doctors do get stuff wrong too. But anyway, so getting back to, I'm just going to do an individual show on the Shaq. I won't go off and talk about other things, but I'm just trying to prove a point that a lot of these books that are being sold are dangerous, even if it's a novel. And the main excuse, lighten up. Lighten up, man. It's a novel. Lighten up. Oh, you really want me to lighten up because it's a novel? But you can spread your lies about it being a novel. Yeah, it's a novel. It's not a novel. It's certainly not true. And a lot of people are Google Gaga for this book. Google Gaga for this book. I advertised this show as being the last day's show, and we are going to go back to that in the coming weeks. But we do want to let you know that we are eyeing North Korea, and this could be something big in the next couple of months or years or weeks. Who knows? We don't know when Jesus is coming. We're not going to try to figure that out no more. I don't suggest anybody else try to figure that stuff out, but we will come on hardcore and talk about Bible prophecy because we want everyone to be ready, and we want you to rethink your theology, rethink your relationship with Jesus, and let's make sure he is the first in our lives. So when that day comes, and if you preach a rapture like I am, you will believe that one day he will come back again to you, receive us unto himself, that where he is, there will we be also. And then that's my main goal, you know, is to make it, because I don't have the nerve and the umph to make it down here in these days that we're living in. Not because I'm a weak person, but because I'm a person who do not want the real feel to show up. And I can get really impatient really quickly with nonsense, especially if I already know how much nonsense we are living with in these days. What you see is not necessarily what you get. Okay? But anyway, let us... right now, I'm trying to check and see this computer. My computer is slow. So, I see. I don't know who out there have Chrome, Google Chrome, but to me, it's terrible. I can't stand it. And I tried to get it off my computer, and what happened was, I don't know if Google people leave a little bug there so nothing won't work after you get rid of their thing. And on my Blog Talk Radio interface, I cannot dial in with using Skype for various reasons. I cannot dial in using Skype. So, we are going to just bear with me. We're going to take a little small break, and I'll be right back to talk to y'all a little bit more, and then we're going to take off for the day. But we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think one once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Sabbath habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Okay, I decided to cut those commercials short. But in probably a little bit earlier than February, we're going to be doing a series on the Shack. That's a very important series because we want to warn people not to believe everything you hear, but go out and study to show yourself approved. The Bible talks about my people perishing for lack of knowledge. God says his people perish for lack of knowledge. That means the people who were in the church, you know, even doing what God wanted them to do, supposedly were lacking the knowledge to discern what was truth and what was error. And it says in Galatians chapter 1, if a man preach any other gospel, he is accursed. Let him be accursed. And he said it twice. So that is something we dearly have to be aware of, the lies, because lies are not something that comes out cold to you. A error is like the shack is like walking in a beautiful field and walking straight ahead, looking at the wonderful scenery, the beautiful flowers and the birds singing and the sun rising, and there's a ditch and you fall in it. Well, they're not going to just come out and say, look, here's a ditch, fall in it. You're not going to fall in it. It has to be subtle. It has to be smooth. And that's the way they get you. And I say they, that's the enemy, will get you by throwing up a smooth lie. So I'm going to take a break. Hold on for a second. I'll be right back. All right, so I'm back. So, yeah, the shack is dangerous. Now, the reason why it's dangerous, because it is giving you an image of God. And the Bible does not like us to make an image of God the Father. Remember, he's invisible. Whoever worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because he is invisible. And we cannot know what he looks like. And you say, well, that's the main reason why. Well, I'm going to go over those reasons why in the series and sometime late January, early February, we're going to do a series on this crazy teaching. And it is a teaching because people are actually saying that it's changing their lives. Is it really changing your life? I don't know. I'm not going to say it's not changing your life. I'm just saying that it seems to me that it is not the most healthy book to be reading and believing that it is a universalism book that is giving you the freedom to say, oh, okay, yeah, I can just about do what I want to do, and I can approach God the way I want to approach God. And it said a quote in the book that many roads will connect to God. Yeah, you're right. Many roads will connect to God, right? At the great white throne judgment. Yeah, you're right. A lot of the churches are losing our backbone, and we're falling into these mass traps that Satan has left for us. The Bible says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And these are the last days, and yes, he is seeking who he may devour, and he will devour men and women who are thinking that they are going to be okay and living for God. But anyway, we're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
All right, that was a quick commercial. Let me go over some of the stuff that I will be going over. And I'm kind of jumping the gun right now, but I would like to go over some of the stuff that the Shack does say. To be clear from the outset, the God of the Shack is not the God of Scripture. And we have to be clear on that issue, that the God of Shack is not the God of Scripture. Now, there are a few things that I'm going to go over. There's 13 things that are heretical teachings about the Shack right quick, and I'm going to go over those right quick. Hold on for a second. I'm sorry. I got to take another break.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our movie.
Okay, sorry about that. Oh, I had to really take a quick break. Okay, the first heretical teaching of the Shack is that God the Father was crucified with Jesus. Because God's eyes are pure and cannot look upon sin, the Bible says that God would not look upon his own beloved Son as he hung on the cross carrying our sins. Habakkuk 1:13 and Matthew 27:45. And they say that on the book says it on page 96. Okay, the next heretical teaching is that God is limited by his love and cannot practice justice. The Bible declares that God, love, and his justice are two sides of the same coin, equally part of the personality and character of God. Isaiah 61:8. Hosea 2:19, and it says on number three on the cross, God forgave all humanity, whether they repent or not. Some choice a relationship with him. Let me read that again. On the cross, it says number three, this is the third radical teaching of the Shack. It says, on the cross, God forgave all of humanity, whether they repent or not. Some choose a relationship with him, but he forgave them all, regardless. And that's Psalms 22:5. Jesus explains that only those who come to him will be saved, John 14:6. Okay, the four, heretical structure, whether they are in church or in the government, are evil. And that's page 122 of the Shack. Our God is a God of order, and that is in Job 25:2. Number five, God would never judge people for their sins, and that's on page 120 of the Shack. The Word of God repeatedly invites people to escape from the judgment of God by believing in Jesus Christ, His Son, Romans 2:16, 2 Timothy 4:1 and 3. There is not a heretical structure in the Godhead, just a circle of unity. And that is in page 122 of the Shack. The Bible says that Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. This doesn't mean that one person is higher or better than the other, just unique. Jesus said, I came to do the will of him who sent me. I am here to obey the Father. Jesus also said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. So, and the next one, what is it? Justice will never take place because of love. And that is heretical teaching number eight. I'm going to skip one. But anyway, you guys got an idea of what I'm going to be talking about. And I kind of butchered that because my daughter kept coming back downstairs asking some questions when writing on a piece of paper trying to get me to read it. But that's some of the idea of the heretical teachings of the Shack. God would never judge people for their sins. I mean, this is in the book, page 120, okay? So, it says, the Word of God repeatedly invites people to escape the judgment. It says, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. I mean, these things are written in God's Word, so we won't fall for things like the Shack. Now, keep in mind, it should make you puke when people are saying that God is a woman or a drawn an image, even if it said God the Father looks like Santa Claus, I mean, that's drawn an image. That's not good, folks. That's not good at all. He is not an image that we can look at him and say, oh, he looks like this or that. Even Jesus, the Son of God, it is impossible to try to visualize what he looked like. I mean, people do it. I'm pretty sure we have toyed with that in our minds. What did he look like? But we cannot take what we think he looks like when we draw it up in our minds as a final thought. Say, okay, I'm definitely sure he looks like this in our minds, and then worship that. So every time I pray, I visualize this person pat me on the shoulder. That by itself is idolatry. I mean, that too, by itself is drawing upon an image. It is an you're drawing up an image of what you think Jesus looks like, and then you're using it as your Lord and Savior. No, God is Jesus. We don't know what he looked like. And I believe the people that was here with him walking around, and maybe after he rose from the dead and went to heaven, those people may be able to do that, you know. But we can't do it. We don't know what Jesus looked like. I'm just not finding out, folks, 5 years, maybe 10 years ago that Jesus had shorter hair than people drew him up to have shorter hair. Excuse me. So there is a lot of heretical teachings, and listen to this, folks. The Bible says that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Even though this is a novel, this could be very so doctrines of devils. I repeat, the shack could possibly be doctrines of devils. Trying to change what people think about God. I mean, the devil's been doing this since the Garden of Eden, folks. The devil has been doing this since the Garden of Eden, and the devil is still doing the same thing. It says, and let me do a few more of these. This is number 11, heretical teaching number 11. Jesus is constantly being transformed along with us, page 182. Jesus, who dwell in the splendor of heaven, sits at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning the universe. The Bible says, in him there is no change, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, and 13, verse 8, and John 1, 17. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, how in the heck is Jesus constantly being transformed along with us? And that's in the shack, page 182. Heretical teaching number 12. There is no need for faith or reconciliation with God because everyone will make it to heaven. Whoa, everybody's going to make it to heaven. So all the preachers of the universe, all the messengers, all the people on Blog Talk Radio need to just quit right now. That ticks me off. That's the same thing that Billy Graham said. Oh, we don't have, I'm so glad you said that, the wideness of God. Yes, everybody will be saved. My name is Billy Graham. Everybody will be saved at the end. Don't you see that, man, most of these movements, most of these, and I call them a movement. Yeah, okay, I said earlier it wasn't a movement, but anything that can get people stirred up, to do go forth, even to read the book or to listen to the show or to do this is a movement. And then they got people giving away books, you know, and they having these Bible studies on the shack. And I mean, come on, how can you possibly deem a Bible study out of this book, the shack? How about just doing a Bible study of God rather than a shack Bible study of God? The shack is a bunch of heresy. Well, anyway, number 13, the Bible is not true because it reduced God to paper. And that's page 65, 66, 134, and 198. They reduced God to paper. Huh. Jesus himself called himself the Word of God. So the Bible is God breathed. Sure, there were many men through 1,800 years who put pen to paper, so to speak, each from different professions and different backgrounds. But the Holy Spirit infused the work with God's word. And it says that God has given his word to the prophets. So that gives you a little idea of the heresies that is in this book, The Shack. And boy, if it's heresy, If it's not heresy, then I don't know what it is. But I believe a lot of these movements are transferring the responsibility of salvation from God to back to man. And then we're demoting God by putting out novels like The Shack. We're demoting God. And we're not only demoting God, but we've been demoting God in a lot of religions, like the Mormons, saying that God and Jesus were brothers. Jesus created Satan, by the way. Or demoting the church, or demoting Israel, or promoting the church over Israel. And when a lot of people are twisting scripture, demoting what God wants to promote and promoting what God wants to demote. Because he wants us to come to him. It says God resists the proud and lifts up the humble. You can't come to God thinking you're a God. Let me repeat myself. You can't come to God thinking you're a God. It just don't work that way. You guys are going to fight. And God is going to win every time. You can't come to God saying that the country that is his country, that is his fig tree, that is his apple of his eye, Israel, take them out of the Bible, replace them with the church who is screwing up in the first place. And don't forget that Israel screwed up back in the back, so the church replaced Israel for screwing up. So I'm not talking down to the church, because there is a remnant. There is a remnant, folks, that will hear the trumpet sound at the rapture. Rapture, rapture, rapture. For all those who can't stand the rapture, it's a trumpet sound that will sound, and God will come get his own. But when you have all this mess, like the Shack and the purpose driven and all these lies that have been told purposely, and the movement that we are going to establish the kingdom down here, man led kingdom, and we're going to take the kingdom for God and take this earth back. Those things are heading towards a one world government. All those entities, all these movements, Unitarianism or whatever they call it, where everybody goes to heaven and sing Kumbaya, all these religions are headed in the same direction, and they will join each other. TBN will be joining the World Government Council of World Religions soon. So, what do we have? We have a occultic, satanic infiltration of the church. And the church will get its tail kicked, but there will be a remnant of wheat that will escape the mix-up of the wheat and the tares, and will be coming back. In the book of Jude, it says that God, I saw God with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. So there's coming a time when man will be deceived, and it's starting now. And it's subtle. It's very subtle. It's very subtle that men will believe. And the greatness of all of this is that people are picking up this book and glorifying this book as if it was truth. It's not truth, folks. The Shack is not truth. And the thing is, I had some individual, I ain't gonna say who it is, tell me what's wrong with this, you know, what's wrong with the Shack. I mean, it's. I heard some people tell me it was a good book. That's your problem. You don't read the Bible, but you have somebody else telling you that it's a good book. Fine, that's just great and dandy. Some people, you know, even your spouse, you shouldn't really talk to. If they're going to fall for the same stuff as everybody else, what if it's catchy? To me, it is. Misery loves company, and error loves error. I'm going to bend. I'm going to break. You know, I'm going to listen to this or that. I can do this or that. I can do, instead of saying I can do all things that Christ strengthens me, I can read this, I can go to this movie, I can sit here and listen to shows that cuss every 5 seconds. Oh, they're beeping out everything. Well, they're beeping out everything. Think about that. What are they covering? What's the meaning of the show rather than they're beeping out the curse words? Oh, really? Are you kidding me? They're beeping out the cuss words. So what is the meaning of the whole show if they got to cuss that much? Could the meaning of the show get you? Look, going into the new year, we are going to edify people rather than the show I just did last tonight. Because the show I did tonight was just everywhere, but it was not a planned show, it was not a targeted show, but we will come back with very serious. We want to do one on the Shack, we want to do one on the Mediterranean Union, we want to do one on the Syrian Antichrist, we want to do one on the generation that we're living in, we want to do one on the economic system, because a lot of these shows are going to be something that we want to continue to do and to get people ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ to this earth to take back vengeance on the wicked and to throw the devil finally in the bottomless pit and later on to throw him in the lake of fire because he needs to be hurt, y'all. And we not gonna step on the devil's head. We not gonna crush the devil. Only through Jesus Christ could we do any of those things. Because the devil will turn you into a monster. He will make things that are in you come out and manifest itself, and he will make your life miserable. That's why we need Jesus. Because there's a lot of sipping moms who come home from soccer practice or work and then soccer practice and go in the bathroom, shut the door, and grab some whiskey and drink it. And believe it or not, there's a lot of Christians who sip in saints. And we need to stop doing this, man. We need to just decide to live for Christ, no matter how bored we get, how we want to taste a little beer or taste a little alcohol. We need to forget all that, man. We need to get out and do what God wants us to do and preach the gospel. Because God wants to save those who are lost. He wants to break the bondages that have us in grips and have us in the mirror of our miry dirt. He wants to clean us. He wants to clean us. And he wants to set us free and launch us out to do his will. And his will that we will do into the end of time. But God be with y'all out there. Thank y'all for listening to the show. Our archive numbers are huge. We never have any live. We don't have that many live people, but our archive numbers are huge compared to our live. We got 700, 800, 400, 500. I'm looking at them right now, 800. Archives are huge. But our lives are, we probably going to work on that. We're going to need a lot of work on that. But God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful night. Blessed evening. Happy New Year. We'll be back on Saturday, probably. God bless. God bless.